Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use absolutely starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for January the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. Yes, we are convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers, absolutely brilliant, one of the greatest solutions we have to restore the republic. Yes, we want to make America great again, and yes, we want to follow God's law and the rule of law. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. It is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, wow, and we've got a broadcast for you today. A quick recap of yesterday's show first, available on archive on your Roku player. Look for the Liberty News Radio section, or channel, I should say, and or libertyroundtable.com. You want award-winning talk show hosts around the clock? libertynewsradio.com. You want one of the best news services on the internet? libertynewsdaily.com. The recap starts now. We talked about in the technology industry, the sharks have never long been safe from the minnows. Great article, great discussion point. The mainstream press giving away a little bit of nugget of truth, and we pointed out big time. Disruptive technology is here to stay, folks. Get used to it, okay? Expecting trouble. California picks up, quote, some legal muscle. Democratic leaders of the California legislature announced on Wednesday that they have hired Eric H. Holder Jr., who was attorney general under Barack Hussein, to help them battle Donald Trump. Yeah, they believe they'll have many legal fights against the Republican White House, and they want to, well, I don't know what you would call it, but they want somebody on their side. Imagine states literally blatantly announcing we're hiring a hired gun to go head-to-head with the federal government. Folks, it's getting crazy out there. The rule of law needs to become center stage. The police were questioning four black people as video circulated online showing a white teenager being tied up and beaten. They shouted anti-white F-bombs and messages and anti-Donald Trump messages. Four black hoodlum thugs, a poor white kid that was mentally disabled. They literally kidnapped and abused him to the nth degree. We'll talk about this more as the broadcast unfolds. Hour two, we talked about reports reveal mishaps with deadly germ. Deadly germs, I guess. Federal scientists in charge of guarding the nation against infectious diseases apparently lost a box of highly regulated, deadly flu specimens. It's crazy. They just lost it. Safety equipment has failed multiple times in the last several years as well. In one case, a scientist wearing full body gear had a purified air hose just suddenly disconnect. We're talking about one of the world's most advanced biosafety level 4 labs. The government shouldn't be having this stuff and playing with this stuff in the first place, folks. And then they're negligent. We hear about these stories quite often. It's absolutely shocking. Senator Rand Paul uses the Affordable Care Act to highlight and vote against the reality. I guess so much for draining the swamp, huh? Rand Paul was the only senator to oppose. I kid you not. They're raising the debt big time. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds today, because there's more on that directly from Rand Paul. Trump picks attorney Jay Clayton to head up the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. Don't know much about that guy. Hopefully he'll do a good job. Macy's to slash more than 10,000 jobs and to close 68 stores. Don't let it be lost on you that Macy's plunge cutting 10,000 jobs. Well, they've been dissing the Donald. I guess big business just doesn't get it. Going to war with Donald Trump is not the way to grow your company, okay? 35 of the coolest tech gadgets and et cetera, tech ideas for 2017 Consumer Electronics Show. I mentioned that some of those might be some cool stuff, right? But most of the things you see there aren't even going to come to pass, come to fruition. They just aren't. And we've documented that and pointed out several examples of this reality to make our point. That's a recap of the award-winning broadcast that took place yesterday. Available on demand on your Roku player. Look for the Liberty News Radio Channel or simply go to libertyroundtable.com. And you can listen to that archive. It was one of the best programs we've done in a long time. Kurt was spot on with his news. I was on banging on all cylinders. I mean, we had a tremendous broadcast. We're going to be out of town going to the Republican National Presidential Inauguration in Washington, D.C., and we got a Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers event right after that, so back-to-back on-the-road events. And we're going to be live as much as we can, but if we need an archive or a replay broadcast, yesterday's show will be one of them. So be ready for that. The news the networks refuse to use starts now. Kurt Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. You know, criminals don't like it when grandma's pack eat, Kurt.
No, they don't. And especially, you know, Texas is well known for, freedom, I guess you could say. This grandma, Bowie County, Texas, it's a CNN piece, which I find interesting. Local affiliate here in this area, KSL, picked it up. Rebby is her name, you know, like rebel, I guess.
She's not a rebel. She's a law-abiding, constitutional, God-fearing American that doesn't want to be raped. So she's got a rape unit, that's all.
That's right. She's 74 years old, and the headline reads, "Pistol-packing grandma turns tables on armed intruder." Now, based on what you hear, you think, man, she's got it on her person, maybe a belt. From the headline, you just think, wow, you know, Texas is just like the Old West. And the story goes, a man wearing a mask and gloves was standing in her house after he broke in Sunday night. She said, when I started to get up, he was in here on me with a gun facing me right to my face. That's what she told the local CNN affiliate down there, KSLA. But this 74-year-old grandma from Bowie County, Texas, had something for him. You know, it wasn't like a treat or anything. She said, I reached over there, a nearby table, and grabbed this gun. I guess she just had it on there. And when I swerved around, I pointed it at him, and he ran. As the intruder hightailed it out of her house, Robertson, gave chase. 74-year-old grandma giving chase, firing her .38 caliber revolver at the fleeing man. She said, I tried to kill him. Anybody break in on me, I'm going to kill them. He's going to kill me, or I'm going to kill him.
Now, at first, Kurt, that sounds kind of harsh. Yeah. But yes. I want to point something out that you're taught when you have guns. You're taught don't pull a gun unless you're really serious and ready to use it. And so I don't really want to run around saying, hey, I'll kill people and all that kind of stuff like she's saying. However, she does bring up a fundamental reality about guns. You don't pull them. You don't play games. If you're really serious and you're defending yourself, you better be prepared to use it if you pull it. Oftentimes, if you don't, it can go worse for you than if you didn't have a gun. So be aware of that. I understand what she's saying. That could be taken out of context and that we're endorsing such an idea. Look, I'm not just for killing people. But to some degree, it is a kill or be killed mentality when gun plays in the mix. And so I bring that only up to defend her and to kind of set the record straight. She's not really calling for blood. Later in the story, it's like she was scared. She didn't like it. She doesn't want it ever to happen again. But she's ready to take action and do what needs to be done. And that's what it takes to be a gun owner, Kurt.
Well, that's right. In this case, I guess they quote the Texas Penal Code. The Bowie County Sheriff's Office, their Chief Deputy Jeff Neal, told the TV or radio station KSLA, said every citizen, according to the Texas Penal Code, has the right to defend themselves and their family. Wow, that's even according to God's laws. And I guess this was the first time this lady did it. She hopes it's the last. She said it was the scare of her life. And they always say, don't mess with Texas. I guess that goes for Texas grandmas, too.
I'm saying don't mess with grandma. That's what I'm saying. Hold on, folks.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back to the live. You've heard weird stories about cars and people. You know, if you get drunk too much, you got to blow into your car's, you know, breathalyzer test before you can start it up or whatever. Well, it's getting crazier, folks.
Come on. Well, that's exactly right, Sam. You know, this down in Texas, according to Liberty News Daily, they're citing the Houston Chronicle. I guess the tax assessor down there, Mike Sullivan, he said we are now being directed to act as enforcement for the Texas Attorney General and the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles. and that concerns me. I guess they had a new policy that went into effect in December that was collecting an estimated $160,000 in child support, contrary to public perception. And by the way, this is what happens is if you are behind on your child support, I guess what they're doing is they're just saying, hey, your car, you can't get it permitted. You won't, you know, it won't work when you go and try to get your registration done. They say, contrary to public perceptions, Will Grigg writes, most of that money will be absorbed by the administrative bureaucracy rather than being used to support single parents and their children. I guess the New York Times even pointed out, and they reference it here in this piece, in 2015, child support orders often exceed parents' ability to pay. When parents fall short, the authorities escalate collection efforts, kind of like the IRS, withholding up to 65% of a paycheck, seizing bank deposits and tax refunds, suspending driver's licenses. It's in the kinder, gentler area, and professional licenses, and then imposing jail time. So, in like, say you got a license, you're a contractor, and you're trying to work to pay your child support, then they just take it away. It should be remembered that Houston resident, they say Willie Carson, endured more than a decade of wage garnishments for child support, despite the fact that a DNA test proved he wasn't the father of the child in question. His case was one of several of its kind, but, you know, the bottom line to this story, you know, when government is coming your way to collect, if you will, boy, you better look out, because there's a lot of, I guess they say, vicious predicaments that you can be in, according to this story.
Amen to that. And Kurt, you know, I have a problem with this whole thing, because I understand that we don't want deadbeats. I understand that we don't want men running around impregnating women and they're not being responsible for their actions. And, you know, but it's a two-way street. It's a man and a woman, or a male and a female responsibility here. And the real answer starts with God's laws, which basically says, look, you know what? You're not supposed to be physically involved unless you're legally and lawfully married. And then it's only to the person that you're married to. One man, one woman, marriage, and appropriate relationship within that marriage. And if it starts there, you know, a lot of the problems go away. Most of them go away. But not only do you need to understand that you got to have that kind of relationship within a marriage, but then people need to be committed to their marriages. Oftentimes in society, we're taught that dad's a buffoon. Dad or husband's an idiot. He doesn't get it. Doesn't know. What a waste of time. He should make more money. He this, he that. And, you know, the American male is bullied to the point, and marriage is mocked to the point where, you know what? We've got societal breakdown of the fundamental center of the family, a husband and wife. And that's the key to the solution as well. If we teach people that, you know what? Marriage is a sacred institution. The covenants that you make when you marry are not only to each other, but they're to God. And they're usually made in front of witnesses for a reason. And anyway, I bring all that up to say that, you know what? These problems go greater than just, hey, how do we get back money when, you know, so-and-so doesn't pay his bills? However, all I know is any move you take to cripple his ability to earn money, Kurt, is, in my humble opinion, counterproductive. Okay, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, hey, deadbeat dad, you're not going to walk out on her and do this and that. I get it. But it's only when societal morals fall apart that government steps in anyway. And when government steps in, oftentimes they do more harm than good. That's my humble take on the story. But the answer is, you know, instead of government saying that, governments should be teaching, you know what? You need to go back to your spouse. You need to find a way to work it out. You need to find a way to, and I'm not saying every situation, people should be, you know, stay together. Sometimes when there's abuse or those kind of things, once in a while there is justification to say, hey, there needs to be safety for someone. But more times than not, people throw their marriages aside like they're, you know, leftover food in the fridge or something, when it's crazy. And we've got to really start to focus on the moral, real problems, not the effect, but the cause, and what we can do to resolve that. And it starts with a whole societal commitment, Kurt. And it starts with the government not favoring or promoting marriage, but supporting marriage. Government just doesn't need to be in the middle of it, but they certainly need to support moral stability a family-centric. The nation will be no stronger than its homes. And it all starts with the family and those people who live together in those homes. And government should be supportive of those ends, to say the least. But I find this completely counterproductive, Kurt.
Yeah, it's a sad, I guess you could say, symptom of our society when you see, you know, this kind of stuff going on. And, you know, wouldn't it be nice if at least the government didn't add to the problem with all their outrageous fees and fines and, you know, et cetera. You know, in the days of old, if he had Marshall Dillon, the sheriff, trying to take care of this, then he'd say, hey, Joe, you gotta get that horse and get out there and get to work because you need to, you know, he wouldn't come and take the horse, you know. He wouldn't make it so the guy couldn't work, you know, and earn money for his family. You know, he'd be trying to fix the problem, not adding to it. You know?
Amen to that. All right. Anyway, yeah. We bring it up because we always want solutions on the radio, and those are the solutions. There's got to be a way that society can put pressure on individuals to pay their child support, and there's got to be ways to work through some of those things. Oftentimes, it's not that the man doesn't want to pay child support. Oftentimes, it's that, well, like in this case where it's not even his kid, according to DNA testing, no wonder the guy doesn't want to pay, huh, Kurt?
Well, again, yeah, imagine that.
That brings up a greater problem. This woman's sleeping with multiple people to where they don't even know who the dad is. That's another whole separate issue. Yeah. And this guy getting involved with her.
Nobody typically brings that up, though. You know, it's kind of like...
I know, because women get the pass. They can do whatever they want to. Yeah. As long as they get government papa paying the bills, it's all good, and everybody gets off the hook, and we ignore this serious moral crisis that has horrible consequences, as you can see. Anyway, I bring it all up, though, to say even when a dad does care about his children, does want to pay child support, you know what? Oftentimes he's moved on. He's trying to support a different family as well. How many men can support two families in this hostile tax environment that we face as it is? And so I'm not defending dads that aren't paying child support. Don't misunderstand me. But I am saying we've created a climate to where there's no way to win. You got divorces, carnage everywhere due to an over-sexualized society, due to this idea that, hey, marriages are temporary in nature. The marriage is kind of a bad thing. Poor woman's chained down to a man, or poor man's chained down to a whatever. And, you know, these whole lies surrounding what the marriage blessing really is are where the problem starts. And then, you know what? People grow up and they've got horrible examples from their parents. And then they follow those examples and it just goes downhill from there. We need to realize that with the government taxing 50%+ of your income in totality, and then people trying to get divorced and start two families or at least run two separate households, insurance and home costs or you know, shelter costs, a significant portion of people's income. How on earth could a guy get married, get divorced, have three kids there, meet another person, marry her, she's got a couple of kids? How does everybody support everybody in those scenarios? And the answer is, it's not sustainable. It's not doable. Not with the current tax burden we've got going on. And so poor guys start to fall behind. Then they start to fall behind. They don't know what else to do, so they skip town. We're just making the problem worse, folks. There are answers, though. All right, let's just bust out and talk about the FBI next. They're in a strange camp. I think they belong with Al-Qaeda, Kurt, and I'll tell you why in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. 6 weeks after he murdered 9 people at a church in Charleston, South Carolina, Dylan Roof wrote in his journal that, "I would like to make it crystal clear, I do not regret what I did. I am not sorry. I have not shed a tear for the innocent people I killed." That journal entry was placed at the center of the death penalty case presented by prosecutors as the trial of the now-convicted mass murderer enters its sentencing phase. Roof was convicted last month for hate crimes under a federal statute. Under the Constitution, murder is a state offense, and federal preemption of this case might actually make it more difficult for state prosecutors to seek the death penalty. Since the federal death penalty statute was reinstated in 1988, and expanded in 1994, the government has taken a little more than 200 such cases to trial, and juries have handed down punishments of life in prison about twice as often as they have opted for the death penalty, points out the Washington Post. Roof's case presents a complication because the ninth grade dropout has chosen to represent himself and to offer almost no real defense. In his brief opening statement, Roof told the jury that he had fired his lawyers because he did not want them to offer mitigation evidence regarding his mental health. "There is nothing wrong with me psychologically," he emphasized. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said sure, and she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, I do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke, because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, I don't agree with you smoking, but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
And you did indeed hear me correct last segment right at the end. I said, you know, hey, the FBI might belong with Al-Qaeda. Let me explain, Kurt, the story, then I'll get the details. Kurt?
Well, that's right. And the headline reads from the LibertyNewsDaily.com, by the way, FBI doesn't fully believe official 9/11 story. And they reference the Miami Times that reported that as late as October 2012, federal prosecutors and FBI agents in New York City were actively exploring filing charges against a suspect for providing material support to the September 11, 2001 hijackers and other crimes. That suspect's identity was redacted. That means they marked through it with a big magic marker, so you can't read it. From an FBI investigative summary discussing, quote, updates and initiatives as of 5 October 2012, about 9/11. That document was obtained by the Florida Bulldog Transparency Group. Never heard of them, but sounds like they're working like bulldogs, as part of an ongoing Freedom of Information Act. I always think it's Freedom from Information Act, but Freedom of Information Act lawsuit seeking access to the records of the official 9/11 Review Commission. Well, you know, that whole transparency thing works, Sam. And by the way, this report, you know, this deal done for about this event back in 2001, they say it's going to be declassified until December 31, 2037.
Now, let me stop you there. You know, this is a fascinating piece of the story. So, listen, 9/11 happened what? 9/11, 2001, Kurt?
Yeah, that's right.
This thing came out in 2012, right?
Right.
And now it's 2017. Am I confused on this timeline?
No. And now you got to wait another 20 years.
Just to get the details. Well, they say
you got to wait 20 years. What do you think is going to happen about 2037?
Well, 2036 somehow, or 5 congressional session, they'll be like, hey, we have to keep this secret longer. Al-Qaeda's running around crazy. I mean, and who knows?
There's troubles here, you know. And in fact, we can't even find a report.
Well, yeah,
you know,
I guess. Well, they had it. I know they did. kind of like the moon photos. They're gone permanently, but don't worry, we can recreate them.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
They say the unclassified portions thereof indicate the New York investigation targeted an apparent U.S. support network for two of the 9/11 suicide hijackers. And then they give the names, who with three other terrorists crashed the American Airlines Flight 77 into the Pentagon. That's according to the Miami Herald. Now, the former Democratic senator, they quote Bob Graham. I remember hearing about him, but I don't know that much about him.
They say
he co-chaired. Okay, they co-chaired the Congressional Joint Inquiry regarding the attacks. He told the Herald that, quote, this has never been disclosed before, and it's to the contrary of everything the FBI has produced so far.
All right, say that again. Hold on, make that in a single sentence. What is contradicted by the FBI and everything we know? What just got released, Kurt?
Well, you know, he's talking about this information, this newer stuff from 2012, and he says this has never been disclosed before, and it's to the contrary of everything the FBI has produced so far that has indicated that 9/11 is history, quote, end quote. So, you know, at least to me, even though he's, you know, a former senator, you could find good little tidbits of information
every so often.
It has
to do with what we were told, who the targets were, and the details. And it has to do with all that, right?
Yep. And
it has
Graham
to do with the whole
also,
motive and intent and everything else. And really, it was against government, wasn't it, Kurt?
Well, that's the way
everybody
I
thinks
see
it was against the American people because they hate our freedom. They hate this. They hate that. That's what we've been told. Now, you got to back that reality, Kurt.
Yep.
This difference that we've been told.
For fake news.
Okay. Not only is it fake news to the umpteenth degree, but in addition, it goes back to the points Ron Paul made in the early 2000s, right after 9/11. Ron Paul said, hey, look, the Saudi Arabia was at the center of this. They're supposedly our friends. You guys are going after Iran for this. You're nuts. You're going after Iraq and all these people. You're going to invade Iraq over this. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And they're not even really at the heart of the blame here. We built up half these straw men in the first place. They were our friends before they were our enemies. And now, you know what? Countries around the world hate our guts because we're involved in all this. We build up dictators. We train, arm, and fund terrorists. And the blowback, that's a principle the CIA documented, Ron Paul articulated quite well on the House floor of the Congress, is that, hey, these governments, through terrorist organizations, retaliate. And now that we know who the real target is, it brings everything into focus, Kurt.
Well, and another thing to look at is that here at the end of the article from Liberty News Daily, Graham also said, they quote this former Democratic Senator Bob Graham, he said it was, quote, interesting that it took them 11 years to get there and a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit to get this information to the public, end quote.
And it's now, still significantly classified and
that's
redacted,
right,
and whited out, jacked
thing
down, and we still don't even know for, quote, 20 years, because they won't tell the truth. And see, I agree with classified information, Kurt, when it can put the nations at harm's way. But in this case, it's nothing but cover-up so that they can continue to tell the lies.
Yep.
Now,
good point.
I don't believe in the 9/11 official story. I think it's bogus. But because I don't believe in it, Glenn Beck created this term called 9/11 truther. Now, don't misunderstand me. Glenn Beck didn't create that term. People who wanted the truth created the term. Got it? However, what Glenn Beck did is he created this term, and then he put his own definition to that term. And that's the problem. So 9/11 truthers are guys like me, Kurt, the FBI, you, who want the truth here. Who want the classified, bogus, fake news to go away and want the truth. We're 9/11 truthers. We're truthers on every topic, by the way. However, then Glenn Beck stole that 9/11 truth term. He created his own definition for it. And so Glenn Beck is literally calling the FBI a terrorist. Because, well, the FBI wants the truth on 9/11. So the FBI would be called 9/11 truthers. Here's what Glenn Beck said about 9/11 truthers.
Al-Qaeda, they'd like to destroy us, and they will work with anyone. There are also people like white supremacists or 9/11 truthers that would also like to destroy the country. They'll work with anybody they can.
So, you know, like white supremacists, Al-Qaeda, you know, 9/11 truthers, the FBI, they'll work with anybody to destroy the country. But isn't that what he's saying, Kurt?
I think that, like many of us, I'll bet that Glenn Beck wishes he could take that back.
He's welcome to come on Liberty Roundtable and apologize for pointing his golden microphone at me and putting me in harm's way, because when you team that up with the MIAC report from Missouri and the hostilities from the, quote, Patriot Act and NDAA and stuff like that, they literally are pointing at guys like you and I for believing in the Constitution and the rule of law, and they're saying that you and I are a domestic threat, possible lone wolves, could go off at any time idea. And then you tie our quest to know the truth on 9/11 and you put that in the reality that Glenn Beck put it, and you say, whoa, wait a minute. And that's why I don't really like to attack other talk show hosts. But the reason that I bring this up about Glenn Beck is because he literally puts my whole family, Kurt, in harm's way by doing that. I mean, you got Hillary Clinton and George Soros literally calling me out by name through their liberal rags, through their propaganda, fake news organizations. James Edwards, you and I, our whole network, we've been one of the greatest supporters of Ron Paul, who they said, you know what, even if you have a Ron Paul license plate, you could be pulled over because you might be a domestic terrorist. And we've supported every one of these people for 25 years. I mean, the Southern Poverty Law Center, in bed with Homeland Security, who believes in this, quote, Patriot Act or NDAA legislative initiative that claims these things, dovetailing with the MIAC report and Glenn Beck's claim that we're willing to work with Al-Qaeda to destroy the country. You put that together and it paints a very, very hostile narrative towards peaceful people like you and I, Kurt. This is unacceptable. Because I've got a wife and children, and Kurt's got a wife and children, and we've got grandchildren and families and loved ones, and they're all really in harm's way over this, Kurt. They really are.
It's unacceptable, you know, for anyone. That's why there's one of those commandments that says, you know, that you're not supposed to bear false witness, right?
Heard that. Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, I realize that Glenn Beck didn't mean to. I've got a friend that's supposedly going to set me up with Glenn to talk about this and air my grievances.
That'll
but
be
it
coming
never
up
happens.
Real quick.
It just never happens, you know? It's kind of like I'm going to meet with Donald Trump tomorrow, Kurt. Psych. And it's kind of like Ron Paul's going to call me back.
Okay.
All right. Oops. Kurt, oopsie-daisy.
Oopsie-daisy.
White House caught fudging the numbers on new manufacturing jobs. They fudged the numbers by well over 100,000 documents, the Daily Caller. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest now admitted to Fox News, well, that he just overshot the mark.
Yeah, just missed it a little.
Liberty Roundtable Live.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
It's kind of fascinating to me, even the conservative news organizations don't call a spade oftentimes, Kurt. All right? You got the White House caught fudging the numbers. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest admitted to Fox's News, or Fox News's, how do you say that?
Yeah, anyway, well, it's probably their reporter,
Kevin
right?
Cork,
Fox News'
yeah.
reporter.
Do you say Fox News's or Fox's News? Anyway, whatever. Anyway, Kevin Cork of Fox
News.
A
reporter at Fox News, yeah.
Said that he overshot the mark when he claimed on Tuesday that the Obama administration created 900,000 manufacturing jobs. Well,
whoops.
He said he overshot it, Kurt. Sorry, didn't mean to. But when did he overshoot it, Kurt, versus when was it a lie versus when he got caught versus, and this is kind of the fake news thing. Whenever government does anything, it's like, oh, they missed the mark. They didn't mean to. They had oversight. They overlooked. They miscalculated. But it's never, hey, they flat out lied or intended to deceive or fraudulently or criminally. Now, if you and I do it, it's a big lie. In fact, you and I are a domestic threat, according to, you know, Glenn Beck and the MIAC report and the Homeland Security and everything else. See, they can point the sword or whatever you want to call it right at us. But when it comes to them, it's like, they didn't mean to, like this FBI thing. FBI doesn't even believe the official 9/11 story. Why? Because there's contradictory information that was forced out of government by a Freedom of Information Act request. And we got the dirt, and we know there's a lie there. Now they're like, oh, but so what? We're going to cover up the rest, and you can't know. But what they're going to say is, oh, man, there was kind of a misleading on 9/11. Unintentional misleading. Okay, these fake news thugs have got to stop. Okay, when do they underestimate job creation, Kurt? And the answer is, you know, for a mistake, it always goes their way, doesn't it?
Yep.
But the fact is, they didn't create these manufacturing jobs like they claim they did. They just didn't.
Yeah, imagine that.
All right, now, that's the problem is that even if they did, government isn't supposed to be creating jobs anyway.
Ooh,
now, ADP today is reporting that there's fewer job gains than expected, Kurt.
Really?
Yeah.
So, is that true?
Yeah. Of course it's true, Kurt. We're just still feeling the effects of Barack Hussein's 8 years. Donald hasn't even had a chance to get rolling yet.
Yeah, but what I mean is, you got to ask yourself a simple question when you see these reports. You say, well, how accurate is that? Who's, really reporting that?
And this is ADP, a private group. You know, they're one of the biggest job payroll companies or whatever in the country, and their numbers aren't perfect, but they're the best private sector reality check we have, and they say, hey, there's not near as many jobs being created as they had hoped. There's just not, Kurt.
Yep.
And they're using payroll data.
Because, you know, of course, Sam, I mean, you got Obama creating all those new federal jobs. Remember that? I mean, you got all those federal agencies hiring double and triple time, and then you got, him doing all those new laws, all those new regulations, that's got to be a bunch of new people just to even print that stuff up, huh?
Yeah, and then you got to ask the questions, how many of those jobs, even if they are created, are legitimate jobs? I mean, who wants more and more government jobs and less private sector jobs anyway?
Good point.
So, I mean, there's so many discussion points here that it's just beyond imagination. However, I do believe it's true when ADP reports that there's fewer job gains than all they were expecting and talking about. They always revise the numbers, too, most of the time, in recent times, downwards as well, Kurt. By the way, I got good news for you, though. This probably is Donald-esque, if you will. But there's a new owner of Craftsman. You know what Craftsman is, don't you, Kurt?
It was a tool company, if I remember right.
It's a tool division of Sears, right?
Okay.
But yeah, it's a tool company. I mean, I agree. I'm just saying it's more of a division of Sears. Anyway, new owner of Craftsman bringing jobs back to the United States. Now, you think that would have happened under business as usual, Barack Hussein and Hillary?
I don't think so. Do you?
No, certainly not. So, you know what? Donald's doing quite a bit of good, folks. We got to give him credit where credit's due. Quite a bit of good. And he's not even sworn in yet. He's just the, you know, president-elect, which means, you know, up and coming. But people see, I don't know what you want to say, the way the winds are shifting, Kurt, might be the best way to say it. People are getting it. People understand. And they're starting to say, man, I'm going to bring jobs back here. I'm going to prepare. And I'm going to do my best. It's good news. Now, by the way, there's a Pennsylvania Republican in the news, Kurt.
Yeah.
His name is Lou Arletta. Do you know about this guy?
Nope.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, he just introduced a bill to defund sanctuary cities. Kerry Pickett wrote the article for Daily Caller. And basically this guy's saying, look, we have no business funding illegal activity in America. And cities that go against the federal guidelines on immigration certainly shouldn't be endorsed or funded. Here's the question for you. Do you think Congress will bust out and get her done, Kurt? Do you think it's a single issue, easy to read, one issue at a time, one page, straight up and down vote bill? I hope so.
No, I doubt it.
I know. I'm just hoping so, but you're right. No. All I'm telling you is, Lou, if you really want to get this done, my friend, you need to create single page, single issue, up and down vote legislation. Shall we, or, you know, will we defund or take funds away coming from the federal government to sanctuary cities? Yes or no? It should be that simple. It could be one line, Kurt, or maybe a paragraph at most. I'm talking a quarter page kind of stuff. If it's that simple, then we can see really clearly who's for and against illegal activity and illegal immigration in America. We're not talking about immigration. Okay, that's another discussion. Because immigration has its role, has its place. Most of us at some point are here because of immigrants. Right? Including me and you and everybody from Europe, right? Okay, we get that. Nevertheless, it's illegal. That's the word we're talking about here. And don't let them, you know, derail that term with fake news about different ways to phrase that. You know, it's kind of like calling a rape an unwanted advance, right?
Yep.
Of course it's an unwanted advance, but I wouldn't kind of minimize it to that, would you? Okay, that's what the illegal discussion's about. Undocumented immigrants. No, they're illegally here. Now, if we don't like that, we want to change the law, that's something we can openly discuss. What you can't do, though, is have government funding cities, called sanctuary cities, directly in contradiction of the law. So anyway, Lou, good job. We appreciate it. I'm glad you're doing something. I give you credit where credit's due. But I will warn you, Pennsylvania Republican Rep. Lou, what's his name again?
Let's seems see. Like it was Lou Arletta. Arlington.
Or Barletta.
All right.
Lou Barletta. Okay, what I would say to you, Lou, is you got to make sure it's a single issue item. And if you get it watered down with all kinds of controversy, then you'll have guys like Rand Paul, who absolutely want to reject Obamacare at every turn, but won't vote for it if you lie and mix the budget into it and increase the debt by like $900 billion or whatever the number was, trillions of dollars. I'd have to look up the amount.
$9 trillion. Okay, $9 trillion. To $10 trillion.
It's just so hard to remember the B's and the T's and all their spending. But all I'm telling you is $9 trillion. So they would run around and go, man, Rand Paul's not really to get rid of Obamacare. He voted against it. Lies. Fake news. Lies. Right? Create single up and down voter bills, and we'll start to get somewhere fast. Until you do, we're not going to get anywhere. All right, Barack Hussein Obama's right for once, Kurt. I'm telling you, I've watched him in his whole eight-year career and beyond. Mm. And I'm telling you, I can hardly ever agree with Barack Obama. But in this case, he's right on something, Kurt.
Really? What's that?
Yeah, Obama calls the Chicago torture of this white disabled boy and the abuse given to him by, you know, some black teenagers. He finally says that Chicago torture was a despicable hate crime. Now, the thing about this is I agree with Barack in one way, that it is despicable, that it is evil. I don't like to use the word hate crime because they have legal things as if somehow your crime is worse if they can determine that you have hate in your heart. I disagree with that. It's a crime, no question, Barack. I wouldn't call it a hate crime, though. Obviously, any crime is not done out of love. Like, is there a right. difference between a rape and a rape, a hate rape? Come on, folks. You're being goofy. Okay? Crimes are crimes, and they're evil, and we need to punish them for it. What we should not do, though, is create some way to judge someone's heart and mind and determine that they're somehow that's a greater evil. No doubt this was a racial-driven, hostile crime, and there should be actions taken against these criminals, these thugs. And I agree that hate's at the heart of it all. But you might, you know, we talked about child support earlier and people getting their cars taken away. You might say, you know, this guy's not paying child support out of love if he's really not the person's father, right? Would that be a love crime? I'm just saying, see, it's weird stuff when they add this intent of the heart and stuff to it. All I'm telling you is crimes are crimes. You kill somebody, well, I don't think it was done out of love. Would it be a love killing or a hate killing? You know, all I'm telling you is a murder is a murder. And God doesn't say in the Ten Commandments any different. He just says, hey, thou shalt not murder. Don't ever intentionally kill somebody unless it's in self-defense and you have no choice. Mm-hmm. But anyway, good for Barack at least saying it's evil and it's wrong. Usually when black commits crime against white, Barack doesn't say anything. They say, oh, you guys have been racist as white people forever. You deserve it, is what they usually say. So at least good for Barack leveling the truth now that it's evil. And hey, any harm done to anyone by anyone is evil.
Bad.
Yeah. Is bad, is evil, is wrong. And it's got to stop. By the way, did you hear Congress is set to defund Planned Parenthood, Kurt? They got an aggressive legislative push.
I thought they were just going to turn it back a little bit.
Well, all I'm telling you is I pray they defund completely Planned Parenthood. That's what they're talking about, and I pray they get it done. But again, if you want to really get it done, you got to have a single-issue bill. I'm telling you, one or two lines of paragraph at most. Will we defund or deny funding to Planned Parenthood? Yes or no? I know there's a little legalese behind that, but you can make it incredibly simple in an up and down vote. Get it done today. This nation shall endure.